Now we're back in the studio, and thanks for coming in, Margaret.
No bother, Dave. Margaret's to be able to join you.
Margaret's from HUG, Homes for Unwanted Greyhounds. And it kind of says what it does on the tin, I suppose. So.
Yes, it does, really. We did a big rebrand in 2012 and designed a new logo, picked a new name, because at that stage, though, we're based in County Kerry and the dogs come into us principally in County Kerry. We've home dogs all over Ireland, and that is the entire island of Ireland, north and south of the border. So we wanted to go with a less localised feel to the name, and that's what we came up with.
You were going before you were HUG, you were something else, were you?
Yes, we were Kerry Greyhound Connection for a while, but in 2002 the organisation started as Kerry Greyhound Home Finders in County Kerry, by a lady called Amanda Saunders, who was shocked when she arrived in Ireland with her family and her retired Irish bred racing greyhound. And when she was asked, do you race it, do you course it, what do you do with it, get rid of it, get another? And she looked around at what was happening, thinking Ireland was very similar to the UK, where people had greyhounds as pets when they retired. And she was horrified. So she basically decided to do something about it. And the organisation grew from some flyers and business cards on her kitchen table.
Yeah, when I was growing up, you never seen a greyhound as a pet, ever. Anywhere.
No, I'm no spring chicken. I've just retired from the day job there late last year. And as a young woman, I remember seeing a man in my local park, and he would have three or four greyhounds with them, and they'd all be muzzled. And as, you know, unused to dogs as I was then, and as ignorant as I was then, and I saw the muzzles, I thought they must have been terribly aggressive and all of that kind of thing. But nothing could be further from the truth.
No, they didn't come across as a pet to me years ago in the past, you know.
Well, no, nobody considered them as a pet, except perhaps people who had been exposed to them as, you know, as a family. I've often met people when I've been out walking my pet greyhound who said, oh, my dad used to have one, or my uncle had used to race them, and they're really lovely dogs. And they would be aware of it, but yet they wouldn't have a greyhound as a pet. It's been really strange. But it's changed a lot in the last 10 years since I started volunteering with HUG.
Well, the big question, I think, personally, is how would they be with children? How are they with children?
They're absolutely fabulous. They're very calm. They're very gentle dogs. They're not like Labradors or, you know, the enthusiastic little terriers that are very keen to get close to you and have attention. They kind of stand back and they kind of size you up for a bit, and they say, come over if you want to. I'm not that fussed. And when I'm out with my dog, I find that small children kind of, they look at them and they're a bit frightened of the size at first, but then they realise they're very calm and they're not jumping up at anybody. And they come over and they start stroking them, and all of a sudden their faces light up and they realise this isn't a dog that's going to be pushing at me and scratching me with its nails or jumping up to nip at me. And I think they appreciate that. And of course, over the last 10 years, I've been homing dogs, as I said, with families all over Ireland. And, you know, families with children ranging in age from toddler size to teenagers, and they get on great with them.
Now that you say it, like I'm just remembering, when you do see them out, there's no barking and jumping, and, you know, they just seem to be calm in themselves, you know.
They are. That's pretty much a breed characteristic. The joke is, if in the dog world, is if you want a guard dog, don't get a greyhound, because they tend not to bark. They were basically bred to hunt, and they hunt in packs. They get on very well with other hounds. And if you think about, they're going to chase their prey, you don't need dogs that are going to get excited and barking if they're going to chase something. You want them to be nice and quiet and just
concentrate.
Just focus on the job, focus. Go for it and do it. And that's what they have in spades.
Would they be used in with children with problems? Would they be a help to children who, like, I don't know, maybe am I wrong, artistic or something like that, that type of a thing? Would they help?
Yes. I mean, the calmness is absolutely wonderful, because with children who would have those kind of behavioural issues, just having a very calm, relaxed dog around you, and any kind of dog really, because dogs are so accepting. They don't worry about people, how rich they are, how tall you are, how thin you are, nothing about you. It's just you're there and you're kind to them, and for them that's great. And of course the calmness of greyhounds is wonderful for children or people who would be agitated. I also know of adults who suffer from depression who find great help and support and comfort from having a greyhound around. So yes, children with behavioural problems, yes, they can be very good for them.
Good. What's the lifespan of a greyhound? Is it a typical dog lifespan, 14 years to whatever?
They're a large breed dog, and of course they tend to have slightly shorter lifespans than your sort of classic little Jack Russell, who, you know, goes up to their 17 and 18. But they're bred for purpose. There's none of this business of showing, and it must look a certain way. If the dog isn't fit to run, it's no use to the industry. So basically they're bred to be absolutely healthy and sound. So they live on average 12 to 14 years, and I've heard them being older than that.
And their lifetime as a racer, I say, what age would they normally retire? You know, what age would a guy, it's too slow now, we got to get a new one? Age would that be?
That can vary a lot. A dog on its first race, you know, first of all, they're very young, they start training them once they get to about a year, 18 months old. And then they get to 2 years, the career really takes off. So when they start racing, you can put a dog into its first race and it can, you know, get into a tangle on the bend, trip and break its hock, and that's it, it's over. At two.
So you could be getting them at any age, really.
We do. We get them from never really puppies. If they're an actual puppy, there's usually something wrong. There's some problem. Maybe there's been an accident and there's been a broken leg, so they know they're not going to be good for racing. They'll never have the speed, even if the leg heals well. And you do get people who'll keep pups like that, and they'll say, you know, it's a young dog, it broke a leg, it's fixed now, but, you know, would you find it a home? So the younger dogs, we don't get very many of them, but usually there's a problem. So then from about 18 months on, when they start training them and assessing them, and sometimes we get them in where they tell us, I won't chase anything. It doesn't have a prey drive. And when it doesn't have that, we're absolutely thrilled to get those dogs, because we get a lot of people who have cats at home and they want to have a greyhound. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, those those dogs that won't chase anything, they're absolute ideal candidates.
It's perfect.
For placing into a home, foster home with a cat, you assess them. And then when you've had them there for a couple of weeks, then you can introduce them to a home, to an adopter who wants to have a dog who will live with cats. It's a process. It needs to learn that this is another cat and it doesn't need to chase this. But, you know, generally speaking, once it's learned to live with one cat, it'll live with another.
And just a quick question. Do they have multiple births, or can they, you know, are they like other dogs? Or did just greyhound just have one?
No, they're a typical dog. They have litters of puppies. And because they're a large dog, there's plenty of room in there. And litters can be anything from, on a first time mum, maybe about four pups, okay, to my first greyhound, he was one of a litter of 11.
So if you're a breeder and a racer and you end up with a litter of 11, they're not all going to race for you.
No, probably not. And as I say, they're always assessing them. They're registered with the litter is registered with the Irish Coursing Club. They hold the stud book. This is where a lot of the confusion about the numbers bred in the country, and where the IGB kind of will say, oh, these figures are made up. They're not. We have to make guesstimates, because the Irish Coursing Club is a very old body. It's a private body. It's like, say, the Irish Wolfhound Club or the Irish Red Setter Club, that sets the breed standard for that breed and holds the stud book and gives you your pedigree certificates. So they give you numbers in the form of litters born and registered that year. And it won't tell you how many pups in each litter.
Oh, so they only mention the litters more.
Exactly.
So there could be 11 in that, or 4.
There could be 11 or 4,
eight.
Yes, it varies. So you have to kind of pick an average number, and most people go for something around 6 to 7 to estimate from the litters. So yes, the figures have to be guesstimated, but they're an educated guesstimate. And the IGB loves to dismiss anybody who comes up with the figures as saying, oh, these are just made up figures. Well, then give us the figures.
So one dog could have quite a lot of offspring, really, in a lifetime.
They could. In IGB regulations, they're limited to the number of litters they can have. There's all sorts of rules about it. But, you know, you can start breeding a young female dog when she's around, you know, when she's around, say, 2 years old. Let her mature physically fully. And from then on, she's allowed to have 6 litters, and she can go for a 7th on certification from a vet that she's fit, which means the female dogs, if they're kept for breeding, we don't get them till they're older, and of course we get a preponderance of male dogs handed in.
Right. Tell me this: when you do get a female, is neutering, is all that done before you give out the dog for homing?
Absolutely, it's our policy. We do not give out any dog that hasn't been neutered, unless it's age inappropriate. For example, you wouldn't neuter a 6-month-old puppy, really. You need them. Well, 6 months would be the minimum you do it, but preferably with a large breed dog, you'd want to leave it till later. But if we do adopt a pup out like that, we follow up on that, and the person who adopts the dog agrees to have it neutered at the appropriate age.
So in any given year, have you an idea how many, well, you might have an idea of many people, many dogs you actually home?
We're running on an average of about 130 to 150 each year. And of that, the bulk of them would leave Ireland, and they would find homes in the UK and on the continent.
Oh, so you're homing in other countries?
We have to. There aren't simply aren't enough homes in Ireland for them, given the numbers that are bred, even on the guesstimates that we make. There isn't any way there's enough homes in Ireland. If you think about it, if we get a dog that's retired at age two or age four, it's usually 2 to 4 is their lifespan, and you would seldom find a dog older than 4 years old still racing.
So exactly. That's what I'm saying. So
it's a very short racing career. Absolutely.
And then you've got about 10 years left with the dog.
You have a decade of life. So if everybody in Ireland took one, you have 10 years with that dog before you're looking for another one. And with the numbers that are bred in the country, how the hell would we home the numbers? So we're actually having to export them abroad. An Irish solution to an Irish problem.
How did you get involved in that? How did you, internet or something, is it? How did you do that?
I adopted a lovely German Shepherd Rough Collie cross back in 2006. And she proved to be a great teacher and friend. She's still with me. She's 14 and very wobbly. But she was nervous and reactive, and she made me a much better dog guardian because I had to learn a lot. And one thing I learned was she needed a canine companion. And I was at Pet Expo 1 year, and I happened to walk past the stand, and Amanda, the lady who set up the rescue, leaned out and said, "What a beautiful dog," and we got chatting. And I decided to give a greyhound a chance. And a couple of months later, this great big, tall, skinny, lanky thing arrived in my house, and she said, "I think this one will work. You need a nice, calm, relaxed male for this girl." And she said, "This boy I think is perfect. Give it your best shot." Well, he went to sleep last October in my arms from cancer. But he was the most amazing, magnificent boy. His name was Jacob. His working name was Flying Motion. Right. He was bred in County Limerick, and he was owned by a gentleman in County Kerry who handed him in for adoption. And he made a hell of a difference in my life, in my German Shepherd mix's life, and in the lives of people around me, because taking him out for walks, he proved to be a fantastic ambassador for the breed. People got to see a greyhound, even though he was huge. He stood 30 inches to shoulder, so he's one of the bigger end of the scale. He was an ex-coursing boy. And people just fell in love with them, and they got to realise that greyhounds weren't these terrible, aggressive, vicious things. You know, you see the classic shots of them running down the track with the muzzle and their mouths wide open because they're running at 45 miles an hour. You know, their lungs are pumping like crazy. Yeah, their hearts are colossal, and they're pumping the blood around for that huge sprint at that speed. So, of course, they look crazy running around a track. But you see them out walking nice and calmly, nice and relaxed beside me. And I see people with Cocker Spaniels and Jack Russells being towed along, and he would just be plodding along nicely beside me, walking beautifully on a loose lead. Fabulous.
So are you saying that if I have a hyper dog and I want to have more than one, it would be a good idea to have a greyhound with the hyper dog to calm the... Would it calm the hyper dog down a bit?
It's not so much that she, my other girl was hyper. She was fearful, and I was doing a lot of work with her to build confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And I got so far, like windy nights used to freak her out.
Yeah, same. Yeah, Guy Fawkes or the
yeah, she's fine with fireworks. Strange.
Fireworks is a big thing, isn't it?
Windy nights were really her bugbear.
Yeah.
And I would have her in the bedroom with me, on the bed with me, and she'd still be jittery. But when Jacob settled in, she just walked over one night and lay down one really bad windy night, the first bad windy night after he arrived. And she lay down on the bed beside him, and she looked up at me, kind of going, "I'm minding him."
It probably gives her a bit of confidence to see another animal not excited.
It was his calmness. The wind was going on, and he was just chilled out, lying asleep. And
she's thinking, "What am I worrying about?"
Exactly, and that sort of thing.
So maybe you should think in terms of that. If you have a hyper dog, that you could try it. Can you adopt? Can you try? Do you have a service where you would let people adopt for 6 months to see if it works? No.
Well, it's kind of difficult, but I mean, people can be a little bit unsure, and sometimes we place a dog with them, what we say, on trial, and if it doesn't work out, of course, we're always prepared to take the dog back. It's a little bit like matchmaking. We have volunteers all over the country, and once people apply, fill in our online adoption form or fostering form as well, we'll go out and do a home visit, have a chat with them, get an idea of their dog experience and so on and so forth, what kind of dog might suit them. Because again, while there are breed characteristics, like people, they're individuals, and you know, a younger dog that's a bit livelier and bouncier might suit one home, whereas another home, an older dog that's a lot calmer, might suit that better. So we do the home visit and we place the dog, and hopefully we get the match right. So as I say, it's a little bit like matchmaking.
Terrific. You put a lot of effort into it. Everybody thinks like Sony makes a phone, you just makes a call, you send the dog. It's not like that at all.
Not really, no, because if you do that, that can be quite disastrous, because if you get the match wrong, if there's another dog in the house, or as I said, you need to do this, especially if, you know, if somebody's got a cat. And again, if somebody has kids, you want to make sure the dog is okay around kids. It's nice and calm. It's not going to be too bouncy and knock small kids over. You know, a nice chilled out male dog often fits very well in a family with small kids, whereas you have a bright, bouncy little female and, you know, she's going to be very busy and could knock a child over quite easily.
You must have quite a lot of volunteers, have you?
Well, our core team is about 7 people, and we're involved on the board of trustees, and we also do various jobs. I'm the chairperson, and my job is homing coordination. So home offers that come in from Ireland, I kind of look after sorting out a volunteer to do that or do them myself. Or the volunteers, you can see our lovely leaflet here and our website and Facebook page.
Yeah, very well produced, yeah.
All of our graphics are done by one of our board members whose day job is as a graphic artist. So,
well, he's done a terrific job on this. Anyway.
She's incredibly talented.
Yeah, yeah.
And she'll also go out and do home checks. She's based in the west in County Galway, and she'll go out and do home checks around that area. Our key volunteer down in Killarney, will be near where the dogs come in, is Claire, and she basically looks after running the waiting list, dealing with the trainers and the vets, and organising transports, the dogs that will be going out to the UK and to Italy. So that's her job.
What about funding?
Funding, well, multiple sources. We get out there and we do fundraising events. We get a grant from the Department of Agriculture every year. Last year we got €4,000 from them. So that was great, because it's €4,000 you don't have to go out and shake buckets for and think about doing fundraisers. The IGB does give some subsidies to private rescues.
The IGB is the...
Irish Greyhound Board, yeah. They oversee the racing industry.
I was going to say that. Like, you're taking a bit of heat from them, really. You're taking the pressure off them.
Yeah, yeah.
So they give you some funds every year.
They do. They give us... Well, no, it's per dog basis, and there are subsidies for surgical procedures and for some vaccinations.
Oh, that's good. Well, that's good, isn't it?
So again, it's not a huge... It's only a proportion of the finance we get. The bulk of it comes from public donations. A couple of years ago, we had an amazing piece of luck. We had a legacy donation, and that was absolutely fantastic. First time it had ever happened for us. So, you know, there are lots of ways. If people want to think about an animal charity of any description, doesn't necessarily have to be HUG, but this lady had specified she wanted a certain portion of her estate to go to a charity that looked after the welfare and homing of greyhounds, and that's how we were chosen by her solicitors, who were her executors.
I bet you were happy on that one. That's a big surprise. Nice, isn't it?
That was a huge surprise. Yeah, and then out of the blue, you often get donations from companies. We had a cheque for £250 sent to us by an English company. One of our supporters in Killarney was talking to a rep. She works in a health food store, and they have the company that the rep was from has this scheme for charities, and they sent us a cheque. So you get these donations out of the blue.
What about the dog food companies? Are they putting in anything?
They have. I mean, basically, we've been getting food at a discount from Gain. It's a very popular food in greyhound circles. The owners feed it. And of course, changing foods for dogs can be disastrous. It can really upset their tummies. So we keep them on that because it's the food they're familiar with. And so they give us food at a discount.
Are greyhounds hard to keep? Like, you know, when you say specialised food, and are they a specialised dog who have to eat a specialised food?
No. I mean, this is just a food. There's a lot of food companies. They'll produce food particularly for, say, you'll see the Royal Canin ones, and it's quite ridiculous. They provide food for Cavalier King Charles and food for German Shepherds and Great Danes. And there's really no difference except the size of the biscuit, to be quite honest with you. But with the greyhounds, you kind of need to be careful about the proportion of protein, particularly when it's very highly processed, as it is with dry food. If you give a too high proportion of protein in a dry food, dogs can get a little bit batty. It seems to have a funny effect on them.
They don't look like they eat too much, ever.
Honest to God, we should all have greyhound genes.
Is that what it is? Is it?
Their physiology is unique. While they're dogs, they're not quite like other dogs. Their physiology is unique because of the speed they run at. They have the very highest proportion of fast twitch muscle fibres. Their blood is amazing. They have a much higher haemoglobin content than other dogs, because they have to get the oxygen round to those muscles really fast, and their hearts are colossal. when my boy was diagnosed finally with his final illness, I got to see the x-rays. And I kid you not, his heart was 2/3 the depth of his chest. They're colossal.
Big heart.
So you have
an
that
animal.
Colossal yeah. heart pumping yeah. the blood yeah. fast when they're sprinting.
Yes, of course. Like a horse, a bit like a horse. They well, call on the effort quick,
exactly.
fast,
sharp. Well, horses yeah. have stamina and they can yeah. endurance, but greyhounds don't. They're like the cheetah. Short burst
Short
of energy.
Burst, yeah.
It's
yeah.
all over and done with, and they need... Where's the couch? I need to recover.
Yeah. So they don't get fat when they get older, do they? When they retire?
No, it can actually be quite hard to keep weight on an old greyhound.
Really?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. They get even skinnier.
Because what happens to dogs is they get overfed, normal dogs.
They do,
and people
yeah.
overfeed them, and it leads to every sort of a problem.
Well, you know yourself, if you're getting, your joints are getting a bit creaky, the
yeah.
doctor will look at you.
The
and,
last
and
thing you need
go,
is...
Go, ah, you need to lose some weight. That'll really help your joints.
Yeah,
so.
The last thing you need to do is carry a few extra pounds if your joints are hurting. Yeah,
exactly,
yeah,
and an extra yeah. pound on a small dog like a Jack Russell Terrier is like about 2 stone on us or something,
okay,
proportionately.
Yeah.
You know,
yes,
so it's,
yeah, 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 yeah.
You know, you do see them, but no, it can be hard to put right. weight on a greyhound.
So they're not going to eat you out of house and home, that's what I'm saying.
No, they're a large dog. They will eat a fair amount, but yeah. No, they won't eat you out of house and home.
Okay. So, look, at it, we'll wrap it up now. Is there anything else you want to do? Is there a site you want for donations that we could talk about?
Well, our website is www.homesforunwantedgreyhounds.ie. It's unfortunately the full words because we couldn't get the hug.ie.
Could you
domain.
Not?
No, somebody has
somebody
it.
Somebody had it, yeah.
And they're not using it. So okay. there's a donate button there. Or if you want to get in touch with us about any other way to donate or to help out, then you can message us on our Facebook page and we'll try and get you as quickly as we can.
Great. Well, you're doing a great job.
Thank you very much.
Oh, really? You know, I mean, there's so many people come in here and there's so many people out there who dedicate themselves to all kinds of things. And you all do a fantastic job. Thank you very much. And thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.
Thank you.